Hey there, everyone. Welcome today to Revival Radio. We're so glad you could join us. We're an outreach of Revival Christian Fellowship located here in Menifee, California. And today, Pastor John Miller continues his series based upon Paul's letter to the Colossians called Complete in Christ. In Colossians chapter 1, Paul says, "Give thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He's delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins." This means that God has delivered us from the power of sin and transferred us from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. Today we learn about the powerful meaning of redemption. Let's join Pastor John right now with the message, Reasons to be Thankful.
Man's greatest problem is sin, and it's a problem that no scientist, no philosopher, no psychiatrist, no politician, no physician can solve. No one can solve it. The only one that can forgive our sin is God. The Bible says that. It says, who can forgive sins but God alone? You can't work to be forgiven. You can't earn forgiveness. You can't merit forgiveness. You can't try to reform your life to be forgiven by God. Only God can forgive your sins. And the basis by which God does that is that Jesus paid for your sins on the cross. And that when you believe in Jesus, He appropriates His righteousness to you and your sin to Him, paid for at the cross when He died. So only God can deliver us from sin and from Satan and from the kingdom of darkness. Notice it in verse 13. He's delivered us from what? The power of darkness. Remember when you lived in darkness before your conversion? You lived in hate and envy and jealousness and pride and lust and greed. And you basically lived in darkness. That's what God comes to deliver us from. I believe that salvation is God's rescue mission. That God actually came from heaven to rescue us. I love that concept that I was drowning in my sin and I was on my way to hell, and God actually came and rescued me. It's the rescue mission of Jesus Christ. He said, I've come to seek and to save that which is lost. He rescues us from sin's power. He rescues us from sin's penalty. He rescues us from sin's guilt and shame. You know, if we had a testimony service where we all stood up and talked about what great sinners we were before we were saved, some of you would run for your life probably. If you knew who you were sitting to right next to you right now, who was sitting next to you, and the sinful life that they were involved in, you'd scoot over in your pew just a little bit. I don't know if I'm safe. But now you're washed. And now you're cleansed. And we're going to see in the next verse, now you're forgiven. Amen? What a blessing to be thankful for. So thankful, number one, that God the Father has qualified me and made me fit for heaven. Thankful, number two, that He's delivered us or rescued us. This is the negative side, but notice in verse 13, not only does God deliver us from Satan's kingdom of darkness, but He also, verse 13, translates us or transfers us into the kingdom of His dear Son, God the Son. Now, literally, that would read, the Son of His love. And I like that. He's taken us out of the kingdom of darkness, Satan's kingdom, and He's transferred us. And I'll explain what that means. And brought us into a new kingdom, the kingdom of the Son of His love. That's how it should read in the Greek. Son of His love. Remember when Jesus was baptized? And when He came out of the water, the Father spoke from heaven. What did He say? This is My beloved Son in whom I am well pleased, in whom My soul delights. So the Father loves the Son loves the Father. The Father and Son love the saints love the Father and Son, and the saints love each other. It's a kingdom of love. A lot of love going around in God's kingdom. to go from a kingdom of hate and darkness and bondage to the kingdom of light and the kingdom of love. So I told you in verse 12 to write the word light. I'm telling you in verse 13 to write the word love, the kingdom of the Son of His love. So what do we have? We've been qualified to inherit light, and we've been translated from the kingdom of darkness, which is a kingdom of hate, to a kingdom of light and the love of His Son. What does it mean to be transferred? King James Bible has translated, but a better translation would be actually the word transferred. It was used to describe the deportation of a population from one country to another. We hear a lot about deporting in our country today. We hear a lot about deporting people who don't belong here and so forth, and deportation of others. Well, you know what? God has actually deported you. The moment you were saved, He pulled you. And it speaks of a work of God, how He took you out of Satan's kingdom and He transferred or deported you into His kingdom of light and love. This occurs at the moment of your conversion. All Christians, the moment they are saved, are taken out of darkness and placed in the light. Equally. And it's not progressional, too, by the way. You don't get more into the kingdom the longer you're a Christian. It's not progressional. The moment you're saved, you are fit for heaven and living in the kingdom. You're a king's kid. And you need to remind yourself of that, to be thankful for that. It's not your progressional sanctification. It's your positional righteousness in Christ. You're taken out of death, placed into life. You're taking out of sin and you're placed into the righteousness of Jesus Christ. You're taken out of a kingdom of hate and anger and love and death and dying, and you're placed in a kingdom of love and life where there's the hope of heaven. All Christians, the moment they are saved. So we as children of God live in the kingdom of light and love. And it happens again the moment we are converted, and it's equally true of all Christians. Now, there is a sense where in the future, we're actually going to go to heaven. We're not in heaven yet. Have you noticed that? You go, it was so hot last night, yesterday, I was beginning to wonder where I was. Sorry, that just popped in my brain. Heaven has now come to you. You're living in the kingdom of God. Kingdom of God is not eat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So there's a future sense, but we experience it right now. Here's the thought I want to leave you with after this point, before I go to my third point, and this is my point of application. You know what it is? Every morning when you wake up, I tried it this week, and though I had a difficult week, I had a trying week, and I had a hard week, it helped me. Every morning before I got out of bed, before my feet hit the floor, I just opened my eyes. I saw the light coming through the bedroom window. You know what I told myself? I said, I am a child of God, and I live in God's kingdom. Today is kingdom living now. Joy, righteousness, and peace in the Holy Spirit. Every day when you wake up, try that. Just say, I'm a king's kid, and I'm living in the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is not eat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Now, here's the third blessing, verse 14. And that is, the Son has redeemed us. So the Father has qualified us, verse 12. The Father and Son has transferred us, delivered us, and transferred us. But verse 14, in whom, verse 14, that is the Son, we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. So you might say in verse 13, we are captives who have been delivered. Now in verse 14, we are slaves who have been ransomed and set free by the paying of a price. I want to give you five facts about redemption. Again, if you're taking notes, write them down. All taken from this passage, verse 14. First of all, fact number one about redemption, it's in Christ. Notice the little phrase, in whom. When you get to verse 14, the "in whom" is a reference to not the Father, but the Son. It's a reference to Jesus Christ, the Son of His love. And it's in the Son of His love in whom we have redemption. What does it mean? It means that there's no salvation, no redemption outside of Jesus Christ. Buddha is not the Redeemer. Confucius is not a Redeemer. Mohammed is not a Redeemer. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are not Redeemers. Jesus Christ is the Redeemer. He's the Savior of the world. The angel said, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a" what? A Savior. Aren't you glad they didn't say a politician? Can you imagine if the angel said, "Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Republican"? There's hope. Forget it. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, and He's Christ the Lord." God sent Jesus on a rescue mission. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. And salvation, redemption, verse 14, is in Christ and Christ alone. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father but by Him. Jesus is our Redeemer. And then secondly, notice in verse 14, it's certainty we have. In whom, it's in Christ, it's certain we have. It speaks of the fact that we don't hope to have, we not maybe will have, if we're lucky we'll have, if we're good people we'll have, but in Christ we actually possess redemption. The moment you are saved, you are redeemed. I love John 3:16 as a great text for not only the gospel, but for assurance. What does it say? "For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall" what? But what? Have. Shall not perish. That's pretty clear. But have everlasting life. So the moment you are saved, you have everlasting life. You will not perish. You're qualified for heaven. You've been taken out of the kingdom of Satan. You've been translated into the kingdom of the Son of His love. And you have been redeemed. Now, what is the meaning of redemption? Thirdly, verse 14. What does the word itself, redemption, mean? The word means to purchase and set free by paying a price. That's what the word actually means. It means to buy or to purchase. And it means to set free by paying a price. Why? Because in the Greco-Roman world of New Testament times, slaves were so common. In the Roman world, about one of every four person was a slave. There were more slaves than free people. And you know how you got a slave? You go to the market. You go to the slave market. They actually had slave markets. You'd go buy a slave, a living tool. And you'd pay the money, and you'd buy, "I want that one, second one on the left, yeah, that young, strong one, I want that one." And you'd buy that slave, and that slave became your property. You had the power of life and death over that slave. And you say, "Well, that's not right." I'm not saying that's not right. And the Bible nowhere says that slavery is right. It just states the fact of what is happening in the culture, and it's Christian influence that has emancipated slavery from the clear teaching that all men are created equal in the eyes of God. And it was Christians at the forefront of the emancipation movement. It doesn't condone slavery, it just states the fact. But in those days, you could buy a slave, or a slave, listen to me carefully, could buy their own freedom. If they could save up some money, they could actually buy their own freedom, and they could be emancipated, they could be freed. Or a master who maybe loved the slave, and this happened quite often, would actually give the slave their freedom. That's redemption. I bought you your mind, I give you your freedom. And then if a slave says to the master, "I love you too, and I'm so thankful that you set me free, and because you set me free, I want to willingly, voluntarily work for you. I want to be your slave voluntarily. I want to stay here, and I want to serve you." Then they became what's called a doulos, which is the word bond slave. And they would put an earring in their ear And that was an indication you're a bond slave, you're a doulos, and you were a bond slave for life, but you were a bond slave because you chose to be one. The Bible tells us that we are His doulos, His bond slaves. That God, through the person of Jesus, came into this world, and we were slaves to sin, and Jesus died on the cross to purchase us and to buy us out of the slave market of sin, and then to set us free. And then we say, I love you, I want to serve you, and we become His doulos, His bond slaves. And being His slave means that we are free. So that's the picture. That Jesus Christ is our Redeemer. He bought us, took us out of the slave market of sin, and set us free. Now let me point out fourthly the means by which He did that. It says, through His blood. Now you might say, well, John, my Bible doesn't have that phrase in verse 14. But don't freak out. In most of the oldest Greek manuscripts, it is omitted from Colossians 1, verse 14. But it is biblical, it is scriptural, and in parallel passage, it's included. It's in the King James Bible, it's in the New King James Bible, and there's a discrepancy whether it belongs here. But we know for sure that it's clearly taught in other places of the Bible. Let me give you a couple references. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7, it says, in whom, referring to Jesus, we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of our sins. So how are our sins forgiven? Through the blood of Jesus Christ. And then look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 20. Jump down to verse 20. Having made peace through the blood of His cross. There it is. So what was the redemptive price? The blood of Jesus Christ. The price of our redemption was the blood or the death of Jesus Christ. And when the Bible speaks of the blood of Christ, it means His whole redemptive, sacrificial, substitutionary death upon the cross. Without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sins. And Peter tells us in his first epistle, chapter 1, verse 18 and 19, he says, you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold. But you were redeemed with what? The precious blood of Christ, as of what? A lamb without blemish and without spot. Oh, the blood of Jesus Christ. That's why Christians sing about the blood of Christ. They glory in the blood of Christ, that Christ's blood has washed me and cleansed me, and I have been forgiven of all my sins. I've been redeemed by the blood. That's the price that He paid. Your salvation's free, but it costs God the life of His own dear Son. And in the Old Testament, when they came out of the Exodus of Egypt, what was the last plague that God brought upon the Egyptians? The firstborn in each house would die unless the blood of the lamb was applied to the house, the lintel and doorpost. And if the angel saw the blood, he would pass over. That's where we get the word Passover. He would pass over the houses where the blood was applied. So it was prefiguring and typical of how the blood of Jesus Christ is applied to us and God's wrath passes over us. It was poured out on Christ, not on us. His righteousness is given to me. My sin was given to Him, and He paid the penalty in full upon the cross. I want you to notice fifthly and lastly in verse 14 the results of our redemption. Even the forgiveness of sins. You see that in verse 14? Isn't that amazing? Even the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, forgiveness is something to celebrate. That's what we're doing here this morning, by the way. When we gather on Sundays and we sing and we clap and we praise the Lord, guess what we're celebrating? Forgiveness. Our sins have all been forgiven. You know what the word forgiveness is? The word forgiveness comes from two words which literally mean to send away. That's what it means. It means to send away. Guess what God has done with your sins? He sent them away. Amen? John the Baptist looked at Jesus and he said, behold, the Lamb of God who carries away, who takes away sin of the world. You know, in the Old Testament, they had the scapegoat. You've heard the term scapegoat, comes from the Bible. And what they would do is they would kind of, in picture form, they would put their hands on this goat and they would transfer their sins to this goat. That was just all kind of picture. It wasn't really happening. But symbolically, they were transferring their sins to this goat. And this goat wasn't killed. He was run off. And they would watch the goat run off into the hills. And when that goat finally went over that final hill, it's like, bye-bye sins. Ha, ha, ha. There go my sins. I always thought, what if the goat comes back? Throw rocks at it. Get away, you goat, you know. Wake up the next morning, bah, it's on the front porch, you know. It's like, my sins returned. Ha, ha, ha. So Jesus Christ, as our sacrificial lamb, He carried away once and for all our sins. And the Bible says He drops them in the sea, never to be remembered again. What a blessing that is. David actually cried out in Psalm 103, verse 12, and said, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. You know, I believe the first thing that we experience as Christians, that initial experience of being saved, is that overwhelming consciousness and joy. My sins have been forgiven. Praise God. I'll never forget that day that I turned to the Lord and I repented of my sins and I experienced that initial forgiveness. It was like, I felt like physically a weight lifted off my shoulders. And I literally felt clean on the inside. That God had washed me and cleansed me, and I felt free and I felt forgiven. And I weep tears of joy, knowing that God had carried away and taken my sins. So we have redemption. He died on the cross to buy us out of slavery. And then we have freedom and forgiveness. And the forgiveness is that He's carried away our sins, and they don't have any power over us anymore. That we are forgiven, and that we are free. So my question in closing this morning is, have you been qualified or made fit for heaven? Have you been delivered from Satan's kingdom of darkness and transferred into the kingdom of the Son of His love? Have you been redeemed by the death of Christ on the cross and had your sins forgiven? I told you to write the word light at verse 12. You write the word love at verse 13, and you write the word liberty at verse 14. We have in Christ light, love, and liberty. Have you been forgiven of your sins? Have you experienced what it is to be made fit for heaven? Have you been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son? Have you been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb? Are you His child? Are your sins forgiven? If not, why not? If not, why not? Now you may be here this morning and a lot of this message is kind of like, I don't even know what this guy's talking about. I have no comprehension of these things. Maybe you need to be born again today. Maybe you need to repent of your sins and believe in Jesus Christ. And today is the day I want to give you an opportunity before we leave here. I don't want anyone to leave here without being given this opportunity to believe in Jesus Christ, to have your sins forgiven, to have the Holy Spirit come to live inside of you, and to know that you are His child, that you're fit for heaven. That if you were to die right now, that you would go to heaven. You know that? Do you know that if you died, you would go to heaven? Where will you spend eternity? Are your sins forgiven?
Paul gave us three reasons to be thankful. First, God has made us fit to share in the inheritance of the saints. Second, He's brought us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. And thirdly, He has redeemed us through the blood of Christ and has forgiven our sins. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." In our text, we see that in Christ, we have redemption through His blood. Notice the text says, we have. It's certain. The moment you're saved, you're redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, and all sin is forgiven. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Don't forget, everyone, you can access all of Pastor John Miller's current teachings as well as archives of past broadcasts by visiting us at our website at revival.tv. Or check this out, you can download our free mobile app for your smartphone or your tablet. Now, the Revival app is really the best way to stream our services live, as well as access archived HD video and audio of all Pastor John's teachings. You can take it with you anywhere. You can download the Revival app today by visiting revival.tv/app. Well, everyone, thank you so much for joining us today. We trust that it's a blessing in your life, and we hope that you'll join us next time. Until then, may each of us continue to preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, and be watchful in all things, fulfilling the ministry of God's kingdom. God bless.